Amen. Well, one of the things that I feel like our world needs to hear more than just about anything, more than just about anything is the truth about the beginning. Our world, one of the things that bothers me, I like a good documentary. I like to watch public broadcasting stations sometimes. But my problem is they go into that millions and billions of years, and they believe that this world's been here millions and billions of years. And I got news for you. The Bible says it's all a lie. And I like watching. We were watching some of the a show about the White Sands National Park in New Mexico, and they were talking about these ancient footprints, and they were talking about they were hundreds of thousands of years old. Scratch that. Nothing around here is hundreds of thousands of years old, let alone millions or billions. You say, how can you say that? That's what the message is all about this morning. Let's open our Bible to the very first book, the very first chapter, and we're going to read the very first few verses in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to learn some things about the beginning, about how you know the Bible's true. Now, one of the problems I have as a Christian is people saying, I believe the Bible, but I believe God used evolution to create everything. You got a problem. Because you really don't believe the Bible. Okay? You say, well, that's not fair. If the Bible is God's infallible, inerrant word, then everything in it is absolutely perfect. Right. Without flaw, right? If you don't have a perfect Bible, then maybe there's no place like heaven. Maybe Jesus didn't die for your sins or mine. If you pick and choose what you believe about the Bible, then you've got a problem. If it's not all true, then maybe none of it is. Amen. So we have to decide, if we believe the Bible's true, then the Bible's true. Even in the areas where we don't understand, I have a big God, and He can write things that I can that my little finite mind can't grasp. I remember years ago when I was working at the phosphate mines, I started dealing with some of these things, and I, as a child, I liked watching some of the TV shows, and I'm going to tell my age. There was one that had Imogene Coca in it, and it was called It's About Time. It was about some cave people. There's a cartoon many of us will recognize, The Flintstones, about cave people. I got news for you. There were no cave people. They might have lived in the caves, but no Neanderthals, none of that garbage. None of that is true. You say, preacher, you're really stepping on my theology and my philosophy. I'm not touching it. The Bible will. The Bible, if you believe the Bible, it'll straighten it all out. Let's read the first few verses here. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read the first few verses in Genesis chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I want to thank you for giving us the truth in this blessed book. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me of all the times when I doubted your book by believing the science, so-called, that tried to disprove the Bible, saying the earth is millions and billions of years old, when you say clearly that it's only been around about 6,000 years. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way and help confirm to us the things that the preacher's been saying. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to do that. And Lord, help us to understand your book and to believe your book above anything or anybody else. For it's in that mighty name, that sweet and lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to bring out some things here. One of the first things I want to bring out is the fact that, do you realize that God created the light? And when he created the when he created the light, he said the evening and the morning was the first day. Now, there are a lot of people that say in Genesis chapter 1, you can have a gap between Genesis chapter 1 and or verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 2, or verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. There is no gap in there. God would explain it to us if that were true. Okay? Now, you say, there are a lot of people that say each one of those years, each one of those days could be 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, or whatever. One of the things that Brother Myron probably heard it before, I know Brother Ryan and Miss Jasmine have heard it before, it's called the rule of first mention. The first mention of a word in the Bible or a concept in the Bible is carried on through the Bible. So if the word day in the evening and the morning were the first day, if the word day means 1,000 years, then Jesus was 3,000 years in the tomb. Right? I mean, if the word day means day, it means day. But here what we see is the fact that God went as far as to explain it to us that the evening and the morning was the first day. How many evenings do you think there'll be today? We're going to have one evening. We're going to have one morning. Every 24-hour period has an evening and a morning. The Jews go as far as to believe this in the fact that their daytime, their day actually starts at 6 p.m. Why? Because of this very concept, they believe that the evening and the morning was the first day. God created it that way, and he said it that way, and that's the way they believe. By the way, Jesus died when he was buried. He rose from the dead right after 6 p.m. on what they call the Sabbath, which was a Saturday night, which the first day of the week actually began at 6:01 on Saturday, what we would call Saturday night, but that's their Sabbath, ends at 6 o'clock. The first day of the week is 6:01, 6:01 p.m. on what we call Saturday. Now, if I've really got you confused, raise your hand. But the truth is, But what's that? The rule of first mention. The first time a word is mentioned or a concept is mentioned in the Bible, the rule is that it normally follows that same concept all the way through the scriptures. But I want to bring out something. First off, if it was more than a 24-hour day, God never would have said the evening and the morning was the first day. Okay? I want you to get that. There's some other interesting concepts here in the fact that, look at what it says. It says that God created the light on what day? Look at verse 5. It says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I want to point out something to you. Look at what it says in let's read verse 9 and following. It says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, I want you to get this now. God created the light on the first day. He created, on the third day, he created the land, dry land. And what he did here was he put the plants, created the plants, the seeds, the trees, the... How many of you like to have apples or whatever vegetables you eat? I like a lot of them. I like some strawberries, pineapple, whatever. But the truth is, God created those on the third day. Stay with me now. Look at what it says in verse 14. And it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day and from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and days, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. I'm going to stop there. Do you realize that God created the light on the first day, but he did not create the sun until the fourth day? You say, how does that work? Well, stay with me, because I'm gonna really scramble some thinking. If this was 1,000 years, each one of these days was 1,000 years, what would have happened to the plants on day 3, which is 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or whatever you want to call it, and God didn't create the sun, which is necessary for these plants to grow, they need sunlight, until 1,000 years later or 1,000,000 years later, all the plants would have died. And I'm saying all that to say this, to start with, none of the stupid concept of evolution makes sense. What they're trying to do with evolution is teach people to trust in a lot of time. They're trying to explain God away, because they're saying, well, if millions of years took place and all these things changed over the millions of years, then what happened was maybe there really wasn't a God. I got news for you. And I'm going to say this, and I challenge you to tell other people that say they believe the Bible. If God, let me ask you this. Do you believe that God could create everything in 6 days. Then why don't we believe him when he said he did it that way? I want you to get that. My God could create it in 6 seconds. But he says he did it in 6 days. But we let these so-called intellectual midgets called scientists to tell us that the Bible's flawed. And I got news for you. They'll find out what's flawed because it's their philosophy in trusting the fact evolution created everything by a big cosmic burp billions of years ago. That's a flawed, that doesn't even make good sense. Doesn't even make a good fairy tale. But let's move on, because I want to cover some other areas. So number one, the Bible, you don't need to necessarily challenge the Bible. These things God tells us and explains it to us just the way he did it. By the way, let's look at the very last verse in that chapter before we move on. Look at what it says. I like this verse. It says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was just right. Was okay? It was adequate? It was sufficient? It was very good. He could have said just good, but it was very good. You know why everything in our planet today is not very good? Because man has messed it up. Okay? Adam and Eve were the first critters to really mess the planet up. But I got news for you. God has done this, and he put it together. And by the way, he's the only eyewitness of how he did it, of creation. So, and he wrote it down in a book for us. If you don't believe his book, then you don't believe his testimony. And what bothers me is so many Christians, people that say they believe the book, don't believe the book. They don't believe that God created it in 6 days. Don't believe any of the things that he said. Now I'm going to go ahead and go a step farther. We know, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but we know that Adam, and I just mentioned it, Adam and Eve messed the plan up. You hear, you don't have to watch a documentary too long before you come across the fact that they'll say, well, all these creatures died and the dinosaurs died off. We're not sure why the dinosaurs died off, but they died off millions of years ago. I've got news for you. Sharon and I've been there. It's called the Paluxy River Valley in Texas. Glen Rose, Texas has a museum there, and they've got a chiseled out section of rock that they found in a dried riverbed, and that dried riverbed has a human footprint that dried in it. When it was wet, it was mud, and then a dinosaur footprint on top of the human footprint, which means that the human was there before the dinosaur was. You hear all this garbage about the dinosaurs died off long before man came along. I got news for you. My Bible tells me in chapter 1, it tells me that God created all the land-going animals the same day he created the dinosaurs and the cattle and the horses and the pigs and all the other animals. They were all created on day 6. Let's go to Job chapter 40 right quick. I've got a number of things I want to bring out today, and I'm hoping I get to them all. But Job chapter 40 will help us understand some things. By the way, the book of Job, God sure asks a lot of questions of Job. Just start with chapter 38 and go through the last few chapters of the book of Job, and you'll see that God is challenging Job. One of the things he says is, who is this that darkeneth knowledge without wisdom? But I want to bring out Job chapter 40. And it says here, I think it's verse 15. It says, look at verse 15. It says, behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee. Now, that's God's way of telling Job that since Job was the representative of man, and Behemoth, by the way, it's a land-going dinosaur. Don't get upset. The Bible does talk about dinosaurs. Most the King James Bible uses the word dragon for dinosaurs more so than the word dinosaur, because the word dinosaur was developed long after the King James Bible was put together, about 200 years later. But God's saying right here, he says, behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee. What God is saying here is the fact that he created the land-going creatures on the same day he created man. And that's the sixth day of creation. Okay? Want you to get that. But we're not going to stay there long. But I want you to understand another thing is, one of the things that you find in the scientists and the documentaries is the fact that they say that the dinosaurs and all these other things died off millions and millions of years ago. One problem with that. And I'm going to explain it. The reason God set things up the way he did was Adam and Eve, what was the curse on Adam and Eve? God promised them that they would surely die if they ate of the tree, right? They did not physically die that day, but they did spiritually die, and they also eventually died physically as well. But how many things died before that took place? Now, if you believe, and I've got an old Scofield Bible, and I'd like to sit down with Scofield and straighten him out on some things, because he's got some items in his, not in the text of the Bible, but in his study notes, that he's really messed up on. For one thing, he talks about a pre-Adamic flood. That means a flood before Adam. There was no flood before Adam. And he believes that, and a lot of these old timers, by now, if they're saved, by now they're with Jesus and the Lord straightened them out already. But I got news for you. There was no pre-Adamic flood. There was nothing could have died before Adam and Eve came. No dinosaurs died. No animals died. They couldn't fall off a cliff. They couldn't have been hit by a rock. They could not have eaten each other. You say, how can you say that, preacher? Go to Romans chapter 5. And like I said, I'm laying down some things because it will help you when you watch some of these stupid TV shows or a documentary or something like that where they try to challenge the Bible. I know I mentioned some of these concepts from time to time, but I want you to look at this particular passage. Look at verse 12. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time in Romans chapter 5, but look at verse 12. It says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want you to get this now. If there was death before Adam's sin, then you have the punishment before the crime. Get this now. And I explained this to some of the kids in the jail. I said, now I know you guys aren't real happy about being here, but what would have happened if you'd been arrested before you broke the law? How upset would you be then? If you have death, anything dying before Adam and Eve come and sin, then you are saying that God is not a righteous God, because there were things that died before sin came into the world. You with me? Amen. Nothing could die until Adam and Eve came and brought the curse because of their sin. And that way you have sin, which is the crime, and then death as the punishment. If you believe death happened before Adam and Eve sinned, then you believe that God is an unjust God, because he's punishing creatures and mankind long before there was a crime. Now let's go a step farther. I want to share with you the fact that not only is death a curse, a punishment, but it's also a blessing. You say, what on earth are you talking about, preacher? Stay with me. If God had not set up death as part of the punishment for Adam and Eve's sin, then you know what you and I would have had to do? We would have had to live eternally in a sin-cursed body. And I'm glad that I don't have to do that. I'm glad death is coming. And I'm looking forward to it, because that's going to welcome me into the presence of the Son of God.
Amen.
But I want you to get this. Not only is it a blessing in the fact that we don't have to live forever in a sin-cursed body, but it also opened the door for the Lord Jesus to be able to die for our sins, so he could pay for our sins and redeem us back to himself. So you see, death is a curse, but it's also a blessing. Death is a problem if you're not saved. But death is a friend if you're saved and know where you're going. Now, the Bible talks about a number of different things in the Bible. We see that there are a lot of people that think that God created the heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jesus, all things were made by Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. Now the only problem you have with that concept is if you don't believe in the Trinity. Okay, if you believe that Jesus is God, and the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, then what you've got is no conflict at all. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But let's go to a couple other verses. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I know there are a lot of people that have trouble with this. I'm not going to say I have it completely understood, but I will tell you that I believe the Bible. And the problem is not so much with the Bible, as with my understanding, because my understanding as a human being is limited. That's why sometimes we have to accept things by faith. I mean, let's face it. My biggest challenge is sometimes is thinking, well, how was God always around? How did he never have a beginning? By the way, Jesus never had a beginning. The Holy Spirit never had a beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, where we read a while ago, it says, let us make man in our image. We were created in God's image. But God is talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he said, let us make man in our image. And we're created in his image because we have a body, soul, and a spirit. But look at what it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And it says, this is talking about Jesus. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And look at verse 17. It says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist. If you ever noticed, did a study on what an atom is made up of. It's made of a neutron, which is the center, and it's got protons that are circling around the neutron. The interesting thing is that the protons are all positive charge. Now, how many of you have ever played with magnets when you were a kid? I love playing with them because you take the positive end and the negative end, and they'll stick together. But you put the positive end and the positive end of two magnets together, and they'll push apart. Why is it that the atoms, the protons in the atom that are circling all the time, why is it that they don't just scatter into outer space? Why don't they push away instead of staying in the orbit around the neutron? That verse tells us right there. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's holding everything together. He's holding your heart in his hand. He's holding my heart in his hand. He's the one that made us and has our left lung smaller than our right lung so that our heart has room to beat. He's the one that we need to keep happy if we want to keep our heart beating. He's the one that Herod got upset, got Jesus upset in Acts chapter 12, and he was eaten of worms by accepting glory that only belonged to God. He was the one that Belshazzar got upset when he started worshiping and drinking booze to the false gods out of God's holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. You see, you and I can cross the line with God. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, they used strange fire for the sacrifice. And what happened? God said, that's not the fire you're supposed to use. Let me show you. And he used fire from heaven and burned them up. You see, what we need to do is to realize when this world and its philosophies contradict the Bible, always, always, always stay with the Word of God. never doubt the word of God because the scientists found out that this has taken place. Or they say that the Grand Canyon took millions and millions of years to create. There's a problem there. What they're looking at, and I believe that this is the way it was, when God created the world, there were very few rocks. The ground was solid, it was soft, pliable sand. That was because God wanted the people to be able to plant. But after Noah's flood, the water came down, and the Grand Canyon was created probably in just a few weeks when the water ran off from Noah's flood. You see, what you've got, and you talk about the geological columns. What about the geological columns? And you find these people down, the dinosaurs down here, and you find this people up here. Guess what? You can't trust the geological column because Noah's flood, the water running off from Noah's flood, scrambled it all up. You've got petrified trees running through several layers. I'm talking about a long section after section of the geological column. Did that tree live through all those millions of years, supposedly? No. When the water ran off from Noah's flood, you find animals that did not live together, but they were buried together. Why? Because they were all washed away with the flood. Now, I'm spending some time on this because I want you to understand. By the way, this is just a snippet of what I teach in Christian Evidences and at the college. But I want us to understand we're being lied to when we turn the TV on. Okay? So you've got to have your filter on if you turn it on at all. That's why I turn it back. I turn it to the old westerns. Okay? I've never had Slim. Never had Slim Sherman and what's his name? Jess Harper lie to me. Okay? You guys don't know them? On Laramie. Yep. I've never had Matt Dillon lie to me. Okay, you turn the news on, you might as well just plan on being lied to. You turn the PBS station on, you ought to plan on being lied to. The Bible has all the answers. And that's why I spent some time this morning on what I wanted to set forth some things that we understand that this world has no clue about. But I sure am glad I've got a Bible that sorts it all out. But if I throw my Bible away, boy, my mind's going to be scrambled by what I hear. But the more you trust your Bible, the more you read your Bible, the more you believe the Bible, the more you'll understand that this world's in trouble. And everybody that's trusting what the lies that come down the pike are in trouble too. The only way you're able to stay sane is the only way I'm able to stay sane. And that's by my trust in Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I'm glad I can trust in Jesus. I'm glad he is trustworthy. And all the lies I just cast aside like dirty laundry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we just praise your name for being so good to us. We praise your name that the Bible has an answer. And Lord, we just want you to be glorified. Lord, I can't imagine if I had not gotten my Bible, if I had not gotten saved, if I had not gotten to the point where I trusted the Word of God more than the world and the philosophies of the world. But Lord, I praise your name that you taught me so many things, and you've unscrambled my mind and given me a mind that is sane because I trust in Jesus and the Word of God. Lord, let the invitation be used to help us trust you more. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, let them come and realize that the Bible has all the answers and Jesus has all the solution to their sin problem. He'll wash away their sin and write their name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you.